Soccer balls in space. How companies are using the International Space Station for R&D. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. On Friday, a new resupply mission is scheduled to arrive at the International Space Station. But these days, missions to the ISS are as much about business as they are about science. 70% of the cargo in this week's rocket is actually private sector research projects, as in companies sending products to the ISS National Laboratory for testing in microgravity. This has become a lot more common in recent years. Big names like Procter & Gamble and Budweiser have sent projects to space, and this week's mission includes Adidas testing the aerodynamics of soccer balls, pharmaceutical experiments, and even some slime from Nickelodeon. The ISS chooses which research projects to send. Ken Shields is the chief operating officer of the International Space Station National Laboratory. I asked him how a company gets its project picked.
The primary focus of everything that we do, the outcome, needs to be tied to an earthbound benefit. So we're trying to benefit life on Earth. We're trying to, in some sense, return some investment to the U.S. taxpayer, the folks who actually paid to build and operate this ISS.
Do companies pay at all?
Companies pay for their research. They pay for a lot of what they are bringing to the table in the way of their materials, their own supplies, their equipment, oftentimes their own people. But right now, no one is paying to go and access station for those things. Those resources are subsidized, and that's why with our process, there is a review process, right? Because we can't accommodate everything that people want to do on station.
So the research going up on this week's launch is sponsored by this wide variety of companies. There's pharmaceuticals with AstraZeneca, tires with Goodyear, the television channel Nickelodeon. What kinds of things and experiments are they conducting?
Well, you just named a few. So the Goodyear tire experiment, they're looking at silica, incorporating silica into a tire to produce a more efficient tire, a more fuel-efficient tire, and a tire that has a longer life, if you will.
The Trump administration has hinted at pulling funding for the ISS, and I wonder, is there a future you can imagine where it becomes self-sustaining as a result, or that the ISS becomes less reliant on government funding in some way?
I think we've already seen that, and I believe that will continue to evolve where the percentage of the research funding is going down as far as what's being picked up by NASA and some of the other traditional government agencies.
Is there a risk that some of the pure science could get lost if so much crew time and so much space on station and on shuttles is being taken up by slime and tires?
No. For us here at the National Lab, there's always going to be a home for good basic and fundamental research. It's the foundation for applied R&D and eventually products and technologies and things that the consumer will benefit from over time.
Yep. I guess I mean, will there always be money for it?
I think there has to always be money for it. I think there will always have to be some government involvement in supporting that work. In a large sense, governments still have to protect that area. It's all strategic. If we want to maintain U.S. leadership in space and U.S. leadership in technologies in general, we have to continue to invest in those as a government.
And just because people might not be aware, has that always been part of the lab's mission?
It has not. Congress deemed the U.S. portion of the ISS a national laboratory back in 2005. So it has not always been the case. It's actually been the opposite of that. Prior to that, the main objectives were to utilize the ISS to learn how to live in space, to learn how to travel in space.
And then this next commercial resupply mission to the ISS will have 17 of these research projects, private sector research projects on board. How much would you say the demand has increased since 2011? Do you have a sense of how many applications come in and get turned away?
Yes. We've seen demand growing really across the spectrum of organization types, not just private sector, but also government agencies and academia. What we've seen is a shift in the percentage of the types of organizations. I would say right up through 2015, I would say private sector may have been a little bit less than half of what our pipeline is. And now here we are, fast forward to 2019, well over half of our pipeline. I think we're about 65%, and probably after this year we may be approaching 70%. It'll be interesting to see what the statistics look like. But we're now way over half are coming from industry and private sector. We're also seeing just across the board increased demand. An example, some data that suggests that is the case for us is our utilization metrics. We're right now poised in this six-month operating period, which on space station we call an increment pair. With this launch to space station, we're poised to set a record for crew time usage over a six-month period. We're going to approach nearly 700 hours, which is quite a bit more than we've ever done in a previous six-month period. In addition to that, the entire year, we're also going to be at an all-time high, and I think we're running a three-year trend right now of increasing in crew time utilization and also up mass and down mass. Looking out into the future, we also have projects in the portfolio that'll be flying on the next couple of missions, Northrop Grumman 12 with their Cygnus vehicle later in the year, and also SpaceX 19 with the Dragon again in December. Those launches are almost full now. And we're projecting that all of our allotment, our available resource of the astronauts working on research, will be full in the next six-month period as well. So everything trending upward. Also, a robust funnel of new concepts and new projects that are entering the flow right now as we speak.
Ken Shields is Chief Operating Officer of the International Space Station National Laboratory. NASA also last month announced a plan to let private space tourists stay at the ISS, possibly as early as 2020. And now for some related links. We've got a link to more reading at our website, marketplacetech.org, about the increasing commercialization of the International Space Station, including that tourism story, in case you missed it. A Business Insider piece on that quotes Richard Garriott, an entrepreneur who spent $30 million to visit the ISS in 2008. He said at that time, only Russia was willing to take tourists into space. But these days, like we said, funding for the ISS is drying up, not just from the U.S. The station is already 3 years past its intended 15-year lifespan, and increasingly, it's being seen as kind of a money pit. It's getting old and expensive to maintain. NASA spends almost half its human spaceflight budget maintaining the station. That's $3 to $4 billion a year. And there's a sense that opening it up to more commercial, marketing, and tourism opportunities might be the only way to keep the station up there past 2024. That's as long as the U.S. has committed to funding it. And a story last year suggested that NASA had talked to private companies about maybe taking over management of the ISS completely, but apparently no one was interested. And I don't know what's sadder, actually, that no private company wants to operate the International Space Station, or that it could become like a giant floating billboard for the, you know, Walmart space station superstore near you. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.